The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Good evening. We've got an action-packed hour of Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zibman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you for the next hour. We'll also get a special visit from new Bears safety Antrell Roll during the hour, and we'll play Ask Tom, your opportunity to directly talk to the 85 Bear, the champion Tom Thayer. Ask him anything you want in regards to the world of football, and the best caller of that segment will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So we've got a lot going on, but I wanted to start out with something that our good friend Jay Glazer, the NFL insider from Fox, tweeted earlier today. He was taking a variety of questions about things going on in the National Football League, and he got a tweet question from someone asking, will the Bears make the playoffs this year? And he answered, not sure, but players are raving about the new culture there. Crazy stuff went on with the last regime, and I think that's the thing that stood out now after 2 weeks of OTAs and, you know, the first voluntary mini camp, watching the rookies, seeing the way this thing has transpired this offseason. Tom, to me, that's what stands out, is the fact that there's a sense of professionalism and normalcy that maybe wasn't there by the tail end of last season.
Yeah, there's a lot of people paying attention. You know, you have a brand new defense, you have a brand new offense, and you have brand new special teams. So nobody has a head start on anybody. And I think it's interesting how you try to put in so much information to 100 different guys, and they all don't learn at the same rate. So that makes sure that it challenges them a little bit to spend a little bit more personal time concentrating on their details and stuff. But one of the biggest observances I had, I want to direct this to Jim, because Jim has to answer this for me and for us. When I watch the offense, either it's a fast-paced 7-on-7 period, Jim, or if it's a fast-paced full-team period, I see Adam Gase doing a lot of the communication to Jay by the walkie-talkie and not standing in the huddle, giving him eye contact pointers and associate the information that way. There's a distance between it. And to me, Jim, there's a difference in that. There's a difference than being able to look over your shoulder and get a confirmation that you're saying the right thing or you're meaning the right thing to the rest of the huddle, or even whether you're an offensive lineman, look at your offensive line coach. Tell me what you think about the modern-day communication of the distance between a microphone and microphone, putting in a new offense.
Well, it's a great question, Tom, but that's how it's done during a game. You know, your coach is not going to be out on the field for you. And so for you as a quarterback, in order to, quote-unquote, manage a game, any pointers, any tips that need to be communicated is going to come from that microphone system that you're talking about, that headset that's in Jay Cutler's ears. And Adam Gase can communicate anything that he needs. Hey, Jay, you can always, when you signal a play, hey, guys, we're going to go zero strong, toss 38 boss. Then he can, you know, Jay will snap the ball or break the huddle. But Adam Gase can still, before 15 seconds, get in a tip and say, hey, Jay, if the strong safety's up, maybe audible to X slant spacing, whatever play that he wants. Or don't take a sack here. We're in field goal range. We'll take the 3 points. So those type of communication tips, those pointers are always available for whether it's the quarterback coach who's signaling in the play or the offensive coordinator. And I think it's beneficial that every quarterback receives that type of communication. Tom Brady got it from Charlie Weiss and Josh McDaniels even when I played there, and he was already a 10-year veteran by that point. So there's nothing wrong with giving those subtle reminders to really manage a football game and put your team in the best position to win.
Jim, in the early stages of putting in a new offense and the difficulty of the terminology, does it put more pressure on the quarterback to make sure he understands what he's hearing because it is coming at the microphone headset in the helmet, not necessarily being verbally told to him? How is that for the quarterback learning a new offense?
Yeah, you're trying to put pressure on the quarterback. that, hey, this stuff has to be learned, and you got to spit it out. Like, it's, I know it's a foreign language to you, but you better learn that foreign language pretty quickly. Go out and buy Rosetta Stone or whatever you got to do in order to get it done, to communicate it. But it's done on a it's done on purpose, like you're mentioning, Tom, to force Jay Cutler, who's in an uncomfortable situation, learning a new offense, but it's going to force him to do it because now the pressure is on him. He's the CEO of the offense. It's going to be that information is going to be disseminated from him, and his teammates are going to know how he, the command that he has in calling that play, whether he knows the offense or not. So he needs to show that leadership and that command in the huddle where all of his teammates in there, those 10 other guys, say, this guy's got it going on. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's saying it with authority, and he is leading us in what needs to be done on the field.
You know, the interesting thing is a lot of people have made a big deal about the fact that Jay Cutler is now going through his fifth offensive coordinator with the Bears. But in a sense, it helps him, I think, Jim, the fact that he's had to learn so many different offenses in terms of getting that Rosetta Stone that you need to digest what he's learning from Adam Gase.
No, I agree. The more you do it, the easier it does. Guys, I was with nine teams, nine different offenses. After a while, it does. It becomes easier. You know, it almost, when you hear a play in your head, it should just pick, it almost should be like a blueprint. It should just light up where you see that picture of what exactly needs to be done in your head, and now you've got to go and execute that blueprint, and doing that is by, you know, disseminating the play and how it's called and having the confidence in knowing your assignments to go out there and execute it.
You know, another observation, Jim, when I look at OTAs and I look at the defense being installed at the defensive side of the field, and then you see the offense, when how they're coming together. When the two teams match up and start going against each other, is there an advantage at this point? Because you know how I listen to a lot of different shows and I hear everybody say, you know, at this point, obviously, the defense is a couple minutes ahead of the offense, or the offense is about a year ahead of the defense, those types of things. Where is your judgment? When will judgment day come for you when you start seeing one have an advantage over the other?
I do think defensive install comes much quicker than offensive install, just because of the timing and rhythm of pass plays, mesh points, those type of things on offense. When defense, you can still just fly around and make a tackle. Not that they don't have timing and things like that on blitzes, but I do think defensive install goes a lot faster, and they can play more aggressive early. For offense, you know, for me, from the Bears' perspective, I want to see some mojo by about week four, week five, and then it should be rolling minimum by week eight. This team should catch on fire, and I'll give you a case in point, an example. And their offensive line was horrific last year, along with their run game. Think of Ben McAdoo, who went from Green Bay to the New York Giants. Eli Manning, first time learning a new offense, right? He's always been under Gilbride and Palmer there for the New York Giants. So it wasn't till week eight, week nine, where they really started cooking with gas. They got Beckham back, and all those things started to click in terms of the new offense. It started to sink in, and Eli started to get comfortable and really start rocking and rolling as an offense.
You know, here's the weird thing. When the Bears were healthy 2 years ago, from an offensive standpoint, there's a lot of firepower on this Bears offense. You start with Forte, then you look at the receivers, Alshon Jeffrey. They're expecting big things from Kevin White. You know what Eddie Royal can do in this league, and he's got a natural connection with the quarterback, and Martellus Bennett, eventually, when he does show up, you know, he's been quite productive as a Bears tight end. But the biggest thing to me last year, guys, they were banged up on the offensive line, and the whole offense, I think, fell apart because of it. That's not the case heading into this training camp.
No, I agree. And, you know, typically, if you've got veterans, you should be able to install at a faster pace. You have a veteran quarterback in Jay Cutler, so normally you can put it on him to install. But like the offensive line, we'll see where White is as a wide receiver, but pretty much all those guys are back and have played. So they should be moving along at a pretty good clip.
Jim, we'll flip it around and talk some defense next. We're joined by Bears safety Antrell Roll. This is Bears All Access with Jim Miller, Tom Thayer, and Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Jim Miller and 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. This has been a big offseason for Bears safety Antrell Roll. On the field, signing with the Bears, and off as his wife recently gave birth to a baby boy. And that's been a big deal for Antrell Roll and his family.
Yeah, the family has definitely grown. I have Junior here. You know, he's actually 2 weeks old today, so that's a blessing, and you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. It's been a wonderful feeling.
And you got 90 new brothers here that are part of the Chicago Bears. But let's talk about defense specifically, because usually when you listen to a team practice, you can hear a lot of terminology, a lot of verbiage going on. But it seems like defensively there's a lot of listening because they're putting in a new system here that nobody knows the terminology.
Well, there's a lot of listening. There's a lot of talking. You know, communication is always the key, especially when you're talking about the defensive unit. So right now, you know, we're just kind of gazing along, trying to get a feel for everything, and pretty much letting the secondary guys and linebackers take control at this point.
When you've been in the league as long as you've been, is there anything that's challenging about joining a new team and a new defense?
Well, I think each year is challenging for me. You know, my own set of goals, and then coming here and, you know, just trying to be a part of defense and understanding defense to the point where, you know, the coach make a call and you know the ins and outs, you know, without even second guessing it. So, you know, it's a learning curve for all of us right now, but I mean, we're making a lot of progress.
You know, you have Vic Fangio and you have Ed Donatell, two of, you know, really experienced coaches in the NFL. Are they bringing the veterans along a little bit quicker, or do the rookies have to kind of keep their ear a little bit closer to the coaches because they're a little less familiar with all the different things in the NFL that you are?
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page right now. When he's talking about coaching, I think we're all, you know, we're all in the room together. We're all getting the same, taking the same notes, you know, getting the same verbiage from the coaches. So right now, like I said, you know, this is a learning curve for all of us at the same time.
You've always been considered one of the big leaders in the National Football League, but is that something that you can just walk into a locker room and people know what you've done in the past, you become a leader, or do you earn it?
Oh, absolutely. No, you have to earn that. You have to earn it. You have to earn your stripes wherever you go. You know, it doesn't matter what I've done in Arizona. It doesn't matter what I've done in New York. I'm a Bear now, and that's the only thing that matters. So, you know, I definitely have to earn my stripes, and I plan on doing so.
When the coaches are putting in a new defense, down and distance, red zone, do you have the thought of Aaron Rodgers in the back of your mind, or Matthew Stafford, or Calvin Johnson, or the other guys that are in this division, even the guys up in Minnesota? Are they in the back of your mind, or is it strictly the thought of defense only?
It's strictly the thought of defense only. I don't really worry about the opponents till we face them that upcoming week. And, you know, I mean, those are all great guys, you know, that you've named. And I'm looking forward to playing them, as I played with them, against them several times in my career already.
Antrel Roll is our guest here on Bears All Access. Give us a scouting report on this Bears secondary from what you've seen so far.
Right now, I know we're very enthusiastic. You know, we're very we're aggressive right now, and like I say, you know, it's a learning curve. So we're not moving as fast as we should be moving, or we're going to move, you know, in the near future. So right now, you know, we're just grasping the concept at this point.
You have a lot of experience in the NFL. Give us a snapshot evaluation of the Bears' offense through an experienced veteran's eyes.
I love it. It looks great, man. You know, it's almost like a chess match out there. You know, I think Jay looks extremely well. I think that, you know, the receivers are on the same page at the same time. And, you know, our OC, you know, he's doing a phenomenal job. You know, it's just hard to keep up with that guy.
And he's not making it up. You can see the smile on his face. It's been a while since you played with this kind of an explosive offense.
Absolutely. Like I said, you know, these guys are great, and I think the sky's going to be the limit for this unit.
Let's talk about the front seven a little bit, because us in Chicago, we've been around here a whole life, and we've only seen a four-man front. When we look at the Bears and they come out the start of the regular season, is it going to look totally different to us as Bears fans? Are we going to have to recognize the different formations that defensively you set up in?
Absolutely. I think we're going to throw a different scheme at you, you know, run a 3-4 scheme. You're going to have some weight on the outside, you know, trying to compact everything inside out. And, you know, the rest is just play ball.
See, they say it's a 3-4, but if you're an opposing quarterback, you're looking at that defense, could be a 4-3, could be a 5-2, and no one has any idea what the players in this scheme are going to do in the 3-4.
Absolutely. You know, that's the great thing about it. I think, you know, we can definitely run a 4-3, 3-4, 5-2. We can run it all at you.
You know, the one thing, Kyle Fuller, he was a real asset for the Chicago Bears last year. And do you see experience within the youth, or do you see a young guy that has to learn a couple more dimensions to his game because of the change of the front for him?
Well, I mean, we're all learning. You know, it doesn't matter if it's year 11 like myself or year 2 like Kyle. You know, we're all learning at this point, and we can all get better. It doesn't matter, you know, what you do the previous year. But, you know, I love the way he attacks the game. I love his leadership already as a youngster. And he's going to continue to grow. He's going to continue to do great things for this defense.
One of the biggest things that someone told me about you is you used to do a weekly radio show in New York, and it was must-listen radio because you were not afraid to – to be outspoken in regards to the way things are with the team. Is that something you anticipate bringing to Chicago, and is that good?
Well, you know, I just tell it like it is. You know, where I come from is always been, you know, constructive criticism, and, you know, you never lie to your brothers. You never lie to yourself. You never lie to your peers, and that's the way I like to approach it, because when you do that, you know, you're all getting better at the same time.
And you know, you got to have teammates with thick skin, because you're going to hear some negative comments about yourself and you're going to hear some good things.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that comes with the territory. And, you know, if your guys know you, your guys understand you, they understand who you are as a person and what you bring to the team. More importantly, you know, what comes out of your mouth. You know, it's nothing going to be harmful to anyone on my team.
One of the questions that I always get now is, who's the free safety, who's the strong safety between you and Ryan Mundy? Because you would think the skill set is similar in terms of the way you guys have played in your career.
I don't know. That's a good question.
One of the mysteries.
You know, just versatility. You know, just be versatile. If you're on the right, you know, you play the right. If you're on the left, you play the left. So just know each other's responsibility and go play ball.
That's Antrell Roll, the Bears safety, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Tom, your first opportunity to really meet Antrell the way we did. What stands out?
His seriousness, and I think the seriousness and the way it carries over to his teammates, because you need a free agent to come over to the Bears in the defensive backfield to have a certain attachment of experience, how to prepare yourself, how to make sure you're studying everything that's so new to, like Antrell said, everybody out there. And I think that's the key ingredient. You have to have a settling force in the defensive backfield at the safety position eventually. And if the Bears don't, you talked about the big names within the division and they can score at every opportunity given them. So you do need some experience back there to make sure the young guys are always in the right spot.
Jim, when you look at the Bears defensively and the moves that they've made this offseason, I think one of the biggest things that stands out to me in bringing in Roll, they lacked leaders inside the locker room. And I used to think it wasn't a big deal, but it really is a big deal in football. And it was certainly a big deal for the Bears last season to not have those guys.
It's huge. I think in every unit, whether it's defensive backs, the linebackers, the front defensive line, you need to have a guy who's as solid as a rock and who's accountable. And unfortunately for the Bears, that guy was Peanut Tillman. He was just off and injured the past couple of seasons. But you bring in Antrell Roll. One, he's a world champion. He's been a multi-time Pro Bowler. The guy's accountable, and he's got a passion for football. The guy loves to play the game. He's done it for over a decade now and has done it extremely well. And so he's a player I think everybody can look up to. As Tom said, he approaches, he takes his livelihood, which is playing football, very serious. It's important to him. And that type of stuff rubs off on other players. And if other players aren't buying in and aren't putting in the time, Antrell Roll's got no problem calling them out. Say, just because you're loafing, don't be expecting to any favoritism in this locker room, because they'll rub you, they'll rib you to push you to get on board with what the team's ultimate goal is, which is to win. The guy wants to win, and every ounce of his energy goes towards that.
Tom, in the few practices from the OTAs that have been open to the media, what stood out about the Bears' defense?
The multiple changes in the fronts and the being able to do it at an instance. Because the key ingredient here is when you're going to be a multidimensional front. And, you know, I always, you know, ask new players, because the Bears fans have, you know, watched a four-man line for so long. And you are going to see some of that incorporated in the way this defensive front sets up. But it is going to make changes quickly. It's going to put a real challenge on your opponent, that if you have a new offensive lineman that's trying to settle into a position and he's thinking more about his position than the changes at the line of scrimmage defensively, you're going to create a void. You're going to make your quarterback susceptible or your running back susceptible to big hits and failed run plays. So that's what I always look at, is how quickly these guys are learning the information to make sure when the changes are made within the course of a quarterback's cadence. And Zach, you're only talking about 3/4 of a second to 1 second to a second and a half to be able to do that. If this front can change that aggressively, that quickly, and make sure that you win a matchup while your offense is trying to change, you're going to create some problems up front. So, again, it's the quickness in which they learn the system to make sure they can run multiple fronts at every opportunity given them.
The thing that stands out to me, Jared Allen actually, at least publicly, it looks like he likes the fact that he's going to get an opportunity to play a new position. It's kind of reinvigorated him, at least publicly, with the way he's talking about all of this.
Well, I like that approach about him because Jared has always been a professional, and I think this is a new challenge to him. And if it works out, great for Jared to make sure he can expand his game. You know, if it didn't and he was, you know, somewhere, you know, it's hard to talk about because I like his enthusiastic approach to getting ready for the defense that is confronting him right now. And, you know, Jared, they know he's a top-notch pass rusher, so this is the opportunity that's given to him.
Coming up next, your opportunity to participate in the program. We're going to play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Again, 312-644-6767. We go rapid fire. The entire segment, anything in the world of football for Tom Thayer is fair, so feel free to talk to Tom. And we're going to tweak things a little bit. I'll explain next, but at the end of the segment, the winner is going to get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We play Ask Tom next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. Zach Zaidman, 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you. A special Sunday edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority, and it is time to play Are You a Bears Authority? And we've decided to tweak things a little bit. It's still Ask Tom here on this edition, meaning you go rapid fire with your questions for Tom Thayer at 312-644-6767. Usually we've got Judge Jim Miller as the guy who just sits back during the segment and waits, listens to every question and picks a winner and hands out that gift certificate to Sports Authority. But this time, I want to play the role of judge and let Jim be a little bit more hands-on in regards to this segment. You ready for this, Jim?
I'm ready. How about that, Tom? The Supreme Court judge just stepped up to the plate and overruled the circuit court judge right there.
I did see in the news they did have a celebration of redheads in the state here in the city of Chicago, I think. So maybe Zach is feeling his oats a little bit.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. It's the off-season, right?
Nicely done. Mid-season form. He's calling audibles already, folks. Well, let's get it cranked up already. Let's check in with Jim from Maryville, have a chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. What's up, Jim? You're on Ask Tom.
Hey, Jim.
Good afternoon, fellas. My radio was breaking up early. You might have answered this. But last year there were so many delay of games because they couldn't get the call in on time or whatever happened. I just wonder right now do you have any idea who's going to be in the headset of Jay? I mean, from the OC, the quarterback coach, the head coach. And who's going to get there first to get the call in right away? And is there going to be competition at center?
All those are good questions. I think there is going to be competition at center, yes. Will Montgomery obviously is going to have the advantage, but Grasso, the young guy they drafted out of Oregon, is going to be given every opportunity to succeed. And one of the best things about motivating a veteran is when you have a young guy behind you. So I expect big things out of Will, and I expect big things out of Grasso. But to me, all indications are Adam Gase would probably be the communicator to Jay. I see him doing it on a daily basis now in practice, so I think that's where the familiarity begins. You have that comfort level by hearing the repetitiveness of the voice, and Adam Gase probably knows this offense the best of anybody, really, to get the terminology out of his mouth and make sure it's said in a proper way. I do think when you talk about some of the troubles they had at the line of scrimmage, this may be a less terminology system at length in which that always kept you into the huddle a little bit longer, and then it made you evaluate at the line of scrimmage even an nth degree longer after that. And when you're talking about longer in seconds, it does whittle away time. So I just think it has to be more consistency. When the play is called, you go to the line of scrimmage with confidence that the right play is called, and it's not a selection going through your head if you should call it or not. So, you know, I do think a lot of it comes in, you know, the comfort of the terminology between Adam Gase and Jay Cutler.
Well, are you a Bears authority? You can win a certificate to Sports Authority in our Ask Tom segment. Hop on board, 312-644-6767. And Tom, right now, here we're just in OTAs, and you talked about the timing and rhythm of plays in the install period, whether it's offensively or defensively. Tom, for offensive linemen, no pads are on right now. Where do you really get the timing and rhythm when you really can't butt up, mash helmets a little bit to get a legitimate hat on a hat in terms of being in full pads? Because, give the listeners a taste of what it's like when you're just out there and really.
Well, Jim, that is a great question, because I was, talking to some of the coaches about it, because I was really trying to pay attention to what is the tight end position differently. How is it going to be different for the offensive line than maybe in the past? And when I watched the fits of the offensive linemen, because there are combination blocks that will affect every single running play and a lot of combinations in terms of the protections. So when you have an offensive line going through the initial stages of trying to understand the terminology and what it means in an exact, you can't have a general understanding of what you think it means. It has to be an exact where it means inches and no daylight in between combination blocks. And when I see Coach Maggs, the new offensive line coach, really start talking to his offensive line and the tight ends and how they have to fit together to make sure they're perfectly constructed at the line of scrimmage, and you're going to have the consistency and the surge off the line of scrimmage. That's what you need through OTAs. You need to know the exact feet work, the exact head placement, the exactness of when you feel me push you off a block, the timing it's going to take for you to get to the second level. So even though you don't have pads on, there is so much that you can do within the construction of the offensive line without having to have that collision to conclude every play, that the importance of understanding how they fit will help them play faster when they need to fit physically.
Well, let's go out to Kankakee and let's welcome in Rich, who's going to ask Tom. What do you got, Rich?
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Tom. Hey, my question is, what do you think about this? Only three teams since 1990 have made the playoffs, going 0-3. The Bears got a heck of a schedule opening up with Green Bay, Seattle, and Arizona. Can the Bears weather the storm, make the playoffs?
That's a good question. They're going to have great success out of the quarterback position. They're going to have great success out of Jay Cutler, because he is going to be the instigator of this offense moving forward at a really aggressive pace that you can challenge your opponent's defenses to score points and keep their offenses off the field, because all the offenses you talked about are going to be high-profile offenses. Now, my concern of the Bears' opponents, they are not going to have any true understanding of what the Bears are going to do week one to week two to week three. And even though Green Bay has 5 months to prepare for the Bears, they're not going to have an understanding of what Vic Fangio is going to call to attack Aaron Rodgers in this offense. And then when the second opponent has to get ready, they're only going to have 3.5 days to get ready for the new Bear defense that they saw from week one. So I don't think there's necessarily such an overwhelming advantage for the first three teams the Bears are going to play. I do think, though, the Bears have to come out confidently on defense to make sure that they can put a hiccup, just a mistake, make sure an offensive lineman is thinking, or a wide receiver or a running back, an H-back is not sure about his blocking assignments. And all those things will affect your opponent. But the key ingredient here will make sure that you get quality offensive play out of the quarterback and the rest of the team to make sure that you have that confident defense, so they're not always playing from behind, that they can get a chance to play on the lead a little bit.
Well, it's unfortunate, Tom, because as you and I both know, it literally is 16 one-game seasons. And everybody just say, oh, look at their first three opponents. They got Green Bay, Arizona, and then at Seattle on the road. Seattle's been to the Super Bowl past 2 years. Then they line up against Oakland, come back and play on the road at Kansas City, at Detroit. You and I both know none of those games are gimmies in the National Football League, Tom. I don't think the Bears, being a 5-11 team from a year ago, can really say that any of these games are gimmies at all.
No, I mean, it's funny, because you look at a schedule of 3 or 4 months outside the start of the season, you go, boy, this one should be an okay week, or this is one is going to be a tough one. You have no idea what's going to happen throughout the course of training camp. When if a team has a devastating injury that's almost impossible to overcome, or a team has an incredible value out of a guy like Kevin White, and he's better than anybody ever imagined, and he's given a new resurgence of confidence in this offense that's really helping the offensive line, the Matt Forte and the rest of the running backs, making sure that they're all picking up their part too. So it is. You can talk about your opponents now, but we have to talk about them specifically week in and week out of the season.
You can hop on board for our Ask Tom segment, 312-644-6767. And, Tom, you were talking about the mesh points and how you can work even without pads on. I think Antrell Rule talked on a little bit. Great interview by you and Zach Zabin when the veteran safety came on with you guys, because he said, well, right now we are playing a little slow on defense. There's a lot of listening going on right now. But as we both know, once training camp approaches and those pads and the defense starts hitting you, how does that change things from an offensive perspective in your mind?
Well, I think it always changes, because when you hope to have the, you know, we talk about the specifics of a route run or the fit of a block in front of you, all those things are going to be challenged, because if the defense is seeing that a half a second faster than the position you're trying to get in, the defense is going to win that play. So that's the when you talk about speed and, you know, like Antrell said, just tell it like it is. And so I think that's the key ingredient here, is when you're trying to install a new defense, just tell these guys exactly what you want out of them according to their assignment.
Well, hey, Bears fans, you got to make it tougher than this for Judge Wapner, our Zach Zabin. All you got to do is hop on 312-644-6767. Your chance to win a gift certificate, to Sports Authority. So stick with us on Bears All Access. More Ask Tom next.
Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, the Super Bear Shuffle 5K powered by Power Plate, takes place on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. We're going into an extra session, overtime, if you will, here for Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 312-644-6767. Rapid fire football questions for Tom Thayer. Throughout the segment, Jim Miller will bring you into the segment, and I will sit back and pick a winner at the end of the segment, and the best caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So, Jim, a lot on the line.
Yeah, there is a lot on the line. So far we got Jim from Maryville and Rich from Kankakee, both good questions. But, Tom, I want to go back when you were talking about Will Montgomery and Ken Hironas Grassou, the third-round pick out of Oregon, take over that center spot. And so much earlier in the show, you talk about the communication of Adam Gase, who'll be calling the plays to Jay Cutler. He's pretty much going to be in his ear the entire game. How does that happen for offensive linemen? How do you guys communicate up at, like, in the huddle, saying, hey, me, you calls, hey, next time we see that defensive look, maybe make a solid call? What's the type of communication that goes on between offensive linemen in the huddle on the preparation for the next play?
You know, offensive linemen are a unique group, because during the course of the terminology coming out of the quarterback's mouth, you do have to make a subtle hint to whichever offensive lineman that you may have an opportunity to work with as you break the huddle. But there's also, Jim, as you're listening to the terminology and you know exactly what it means to you, if according to the defense you suspect, say now in the middle of Jay's commands at the line of scrimmage, the defense changes to a completely different front. Now, if I have to change my communication of working responsibilities that may go from my right tackle now to my center, you don't have time to make those verbal commands, because you're going to tell the defense exactly what's going to happen, where the play is going to go, and you just cannot communicate that in those short periods of time. So it's a responsibility of every offensive lineman to know every single responsibility of every single position up there. The tackle has to know every tight end H-back assignment. He has to know every offensive guard assignment. Every offensive guard has to know every tackle assignment, every center assignment, every fullback or H-back if they happen to be working with them, and when they're running a combination block on the exterior of the offense. So, again, it's not only about learning your assignment. It's about knowing every assignment and being able to communicate responsibilities during the course of a cadence of a quarterback. If a defense switches, that you don't have a chance to verbally make any eye contact, verbal contact. So those are the things that it takes so much time to instill in offense, because you could have 100 changes within 50 plays if a defense can stem from one front to the next, and then the linebackers move a subtlety from an eyeball to an outside shoulder, and it can change everything. So that's the demands of the knowledge that you have to have as an entire unit to make sure you know it and that you can go through those changes. And it's just going to be the same challenge when the opponent looks at the Bears defense for the first time. And then the linebacker yells a command to the front seven, and they change into a completely different front that the offense didn't prepare for out of the huddle. That's when the advantages are going to be created for the Bears defense.
Hey, I got a question. Can I ask Tom a question?
Sure, go right in.
All right, one of the things that I think is important, you know, with Ray McDonald no longer here because of the stuff that he's done, there's an opportunity for someone else on this roster because he was initially penciled in as a starter. There's an opportunity, Tom, for somebody else to join that defensive line and be a big playmaker. Who do you think benefits most from what's transpired?
You know, Zach, that is a good question. We were standing out of practice the other day, and I watched the defense line up for their first team play against the opponent's offense, and Brandon Dunn was at the outside defensive end position. And it's uncommon because he's a defensive tackle to a nose guard. But here he is. He's getting an opportunity to take a snap on the outside of this defense. Now, if the coaches say, wow, this guy's got a good burst, he can cover enough ground to be able to play this position, be disruptive to the offensive tackle, to the H-back, to the running back, and still get pressure on into the quarterback. So a guy like that, if he gets 10, 25 extra reps in the course of OTAs because of that, there's a guy that's going to create an opportunity for him, because when he did get a chance to play, he did give effort that was winnable.
312-644-6767, your chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. And Tom, with everything that you said about Will Montgomery, we talked in previous Bears All Access shows about the familiarity in the offense. He comes over from Denver. And then all the calls and the communication that you just mentioned that happens, whether it's in the huddle, on the sideline, when you're talking to your coaches. How long does that realistically would it take somebody like Hronis Grassou to get caught up to speed? We've seen other rookie centers be able to do it. Corey Linsley up there for the Green Bay Packers, veteran quarterback, brought him along a little bit. But for Hronis, how quickly do you think he can get all of that down in training camp to potentially maybe take over that starting position to start the season at center?
You know, it's a personal commitment. If you think you're only going to go in and learn the stuff and the time that's required to you to sit in the classroom, you will never play in the NFL. You have the luxuries of taking this stuff home by all, you know, both by pictures and by what you can do inside your iPad and have all the terminology right there to read and look at. But it's so repetitiously done, you're going to have to look at, literally, you're going to have to look at the terminology for one play maybe 1,000 times to understand that any defense that you might face during the course of a season, you know all of the responsibilities for it. So it does take a lot of time. But when you think of Hronis, you think about making sure that he's confident in the power that he can burst forward with after snapping the ball to the quarterback who's right behind him and not in a shotgun formation. So a young guy has to learn a lot of the tricks of the trade about playing offensive linemen that is going to keep him occupied as much as understanding the terminology that goes along with the responsibility that goes along with the terminology to make sure that you're putting the offense in the right direction. Now, when you come out of and you break the huddle and it's a pass, you have to make sure you have to identify the responsibilities of the linebackers that fall into the responsibility of the offensive lineman. So there's a lot of other details that these guys have to go through to make sure they understand what their responsibility is, but now they have to make sure that they get in the right powerful position to not only get the ball to the quarterback efficiently, but able to have a burst of power at the line of scrimmage that you're going to be able to control defensive linemen and linebackers with. So there's a lot of details that Will Montgomery has done 10,000 times that the young guy has yet to do.
Well, we'll come back. Judge Zach Zaidman will choose the winner of our Ask Tom segment. Plus, I've got a question for both of you when we return next on Bears All Access. Stick with us.
Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer is here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman, and it's time to pick a winner for our Ask Tom segment. I'm going to go, guys, with Rich from Kankakee to get that gift certificate to Sports Authority, because I like the fact that he recognizes, he's honest, that the beginning of the season, at least right now, looks daunting for the Bears, but he still had enough faith that he believes things can be overcome. And, you know, Jim, you know this more than anybody, that when you look at a football season, especially the last few years, usually there are teams that have turned it up a notch kind of after Thanksgiving. So a bad start doesn't necessarily mean that the rest of the season is over. Obviously, you like to get off to that fast start, but occasionally it doesn't happen. To me, it's the teams that turn it up a notch during the final month of the regular season that are able to make hay come playoff time.
Hey, we've seen divisions like the NFC South. How many times has that division gone worst to first? I mean, it's happened all the time. I'm not saying Tampa Bay has a shot to do it this year, but wait, Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta have all done it. So you always have an opportunity because of free agency, because of the draft, you get an opportunity to replenish your team, and the Bears have to get caught up to speed with a new offense and a new defense. They've got the talent to do it, so we'll see where it goes. But it leads me to this question I had for both of you, because I got the sense from your guys' interview with Antrell Roll that he said there's a lot of listening going on. So that means there's a lot of coaching, a lot of teaching by the coaches out there on the field right now. And I wonder where that starts to transition to a little bit more, I don't want to say yelling and screaming, but coaching with more authority. Let's put it that way. What has been both of your experience? I'll start with you, Zach, being out at practice and how the coaches have been teaching these systems offensively and defensively for the players, so the listeners out there, the Bears fans, can really get a picture of what is ongoing at Halas Hall.
Very hands-on crew in terms of the assistants. The thing that I like is John Fox kind of steps back and allows his assistants to do the coaching, but he's got very talented assistants who are veterans, and a number of them have been up for head coaching jobs recently. So I think that makes a difference. I think the thing that stands out to me is, and Tom, maybe you'll agree with this, the Bears are placing a premium on good coaching, developing players that probably have not been developed the way that the Bears had hoped when they were drafted.
You know, let's take Shea McClellan, for example. I see when you look at these guys and you see the terminology come out of the coaches, they're making the point to every one of their positions, whether it's Ed Donatell or Vic or whomever out there. But after they run a play, if they don't see their group of players doing specifically what they want from this defense, whether it's a pre-snap lineup or post-snap movement, they go and get that player, and they explain to him exactly what they need out of this specific front. So it's not like they get it away from their mind, and then they try to re-talk about this an hour, 2 hours later or the next day. No, they address it right there. And I think that's the key ingredient, because when I sit out there and I listen to practice, if you would watch a defense that has a great deal of experience, the guys on the sidelines are having fun. They're a little bit more relaxed. They're off to the side, maybe 40, 30 yards away getting a drink. Here, every time there's something being said, everybody's paying attention, whether you're in the huddle or you're in the back waiting for your rep. If you're on the sideline standing next to your coach, you make sure you understand that you got the terminology correct. And that's the thing about it, is there's not a lot of loud talk amongst the defensive players because there's a lot of concentration.
The Bears head into their final week of OTAs, 4 sessions this week before the real test. Mandatory minicamp coming up next week. For Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, Ethan Shaw on the board, and our man Padge at Halas Hall, I'm Zach Sabin saying thanks for listening. This has been another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.